CriptoCommunity.com.
All right, well, good morning once again. Thanks for watching us rearrange the stage for a few moments there while we get set for this morning. You know, this is an interesting time of year for me because, especially, you know, today we have a child dedication, and, you know, we just, a few weeks ago, had Mother's Day, Father's Day coming up. I have an anniversary that's around the corner, and with all this that's going on, I've been thinking lately how much things have changed in life, and I think back, our anniversary is in a couple of weeks, but it'll be 21 years that we've been married, and I think, wow, just so many things have happened through that time. And we've added 4 kids to our life, Kayla, Megan, Emily, and the other one. Just kidding, it's Taryn. And, you know, 4 girls, we didn't see that coming, quite honestly. We didn't draw it up that way, but we're thankful for them. We added a dog last year, so that even intensifies things. I mean, things have just changed a lot through the years. Life now looks very different than it did, you know, 2 decades ago. And the reality is that it should. It should. The same way, when it comes to our faith in Jesus, it isn't supposed to look the same as it did a few decades ago. Right? Think about where you're at today in your faith journey, in your journey following Christ. You should not be in the same place spiritually a month from now, or a year from now, or a decade from now, or more. If you are, it means you're not growing. You're not changing. And that's not God's heart for you. And I think that's the essence of the passage we're going to take a look at today in is the letter called 2 Peter. And if you'd like to turn there, if you're following along in the Bibles that we have here, it is on page 1018. But I'm going to read it through with you. It starts in verse 3 is the passage that we're looking at, 3 through verse 9. And here's what Peter writes after his greeting. He says this: His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of its sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. This is a passage from Peter that I've always liked. I've you know, taught on this a number of times. I just enjoy it. And one of the reasons that is so many times we think, man, I've got my faith. I've come to a place where I believe in Jesus. Now what? You know, now what do I do? What do I do? And I love that Peter gives us some very practical things, and we're gonna work our way through those things this morning. Peter starts out saying, first of all, that God has given us his son Jesus. That we have, because of Jesus, we have everything in him that we need to live our life and to attain to the kind of godly life that he wants for us. Now, that all starts with faith. We cannot do that apart from faith. We've got to come to the place in our life where we choose to follow Jesus for ourselves. We acknowledge him as the Son of God, who died on the cross for our sin, who made a way for us to make us right with God, who is perfect and holy. We believe that Jesus is the way, like the first song we sang today, that you are the way, that we believe is the only way to receive eternal life. And so then when we've come to believe that, we put our faith and our trust in him for our salvation. That's the starting point of faith. And the reality is when it comes to this spiritual journey, the first step in the starting point is faith. Faith in Jesus is our starting point, right? Now, we've got this ladder here. We're going to see that there's some steps that we're going to add, but the reality is that until we actually step onto this ladder of faith, with our faith, putting our faith and trust in Christ, that's when the journey will begin. Okay, so faith in Jesus is our starting point. Now again, Peter says there are a number of things we need to add for our faith. He says make every effort to supplement your faith. That Greek word supplement, the Greek word there that we translated in here, supplement, is most directly meaning supply or furnish. For example, how many of you remember maybe moving into a first apartment or a first home? Right. I remember when Sherry and I first moved into a home from our apartment a number of years into our marriage. We felt like we had so much stuff that we were hauling over to this house. And then once we got it all in, we literally had rooms that had nothing in it. They were completely bare. And we looked around and went, wow, we don't have very much stuff to fill this house up with. Now fast forward 20 years and we're going, where do I put all this junk? Right? There's so much stuff, I don't even know where to put this. What can I get rid of? Well, that's what I say. That's not what Sherry says. She just needs to rearrange it somehow. Anyway, that's a little difference between a little visibility into our world, right? But we've accumulated things over the years. We've come up with more stuff, more junk. That's the concept. This idea of furnishing a house, though, is the concept of what Peter uses in this passage. So in the same way, we have our faith, our starting point is faith, but we need to furnish that faith so it isn't bare, so it isn't empty. Which means that while faith in Jesus is our starting point, it is not our end game. While faith in Jesus is our starting point, it's not supposed to be our end game. So he says to add these qualities to your faith, and we'll get into those in just a moment. But before we do, I think it's important to ask the question, why do we need to add them? Why are they so important? Why is it necessary for us to furnish our faith? Well, listen to the last few verses of that passage we read, verses 8 and 9. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So he says, if these qualities are yours, and if they're increasing, you won't be ineffective in your faith. You won't be unfruitful in your knowledge of Jesus. So two things that he says of why they're important. These qualities keep you, first of all, effective and fruitful. You want to have a more effective faith, one that is impacting others like Jesus calls you to, will furnish your faith with these qualities. That will help. You want to see more evidence of God being at work in your life, that fruitfulness, furnish your faith. Add these things to your faith. So that's the first thing, is that these qualities will make you effective and fruitful. The second thing is, it says these qualities will help us grow in the knowledge of Jesus. Now, the word knowledge here has to do with having a precise and complete understanding of who Jesus is and what he wants for you in your life. Right? That's his end game. That we would have a precise and complete knowledge of him. It also comes with a warning where verse 9 says, look, whoever lacks these qualities is nearsighted and blind, having forgotten he was cleansed from his former sins. What he's saying is, in other words, if we aren't seeking to add these qualities to furnish our faith in this way, it's like we take that faith that we have in Jesus and we kind of throw it out the window. Right? We set it aside. We ignore it. So those are the warnings and the reasons he says this is why it's important to add these qualities to your faith. So with that, this morning, let's look at each one of these just for a moment. And I ask that as you do, would you keep this idea in mind? Is there something this morning that God is really challenging me with? Are there one of these qualities that is something, a next step in your life, that maybe God wants to do something in that area? So we're going to look at these seven qualities real briefly on each one this morning. Okay? So seven qualities we should add to our faith. The first one that he mentions, it says in our translation the word virtue. But another way to understand that, just for a little more ease of access, is that it's about moral goodness. Right? Moral goodness. That's the first. I need like one more stand, apparently, up here. moral goodness is the first aspect of things. And that's the idea of this. Jesus has saved us from sin and the moral behaviors that are contrary to the heart of God. He wants us to run from those things and to instead live a godly life. So the first thing that gets added to our faith in Christ is moral goodness. Now, I remember a conversation a number of years back with someone who had really had some pretty high moral standards for themselves in their life as a follower of Christ. And he said, you know what? There are some things that I don't do that my friends do. And I just don't do it because I think it's wrong. Like, I think like the Bible says it's wrong. And so I don't want to live that way. There are a lot of other people that look at me and think, it's really odd that I wouldn't do that or join in that with them. But the sad part in this case was, he said, this was not like a bunch of non-Christian people who look at him and think he's weird. This is actually other followers of Jesus who think it's odd that he's so concerned about a high moral standard. Right? Well, but we're called to moral goodness. Jesus was the most morally good man who ever lived. He was perfect by God's standards, and he calls us to be like him. So that's a pretty high moral standard. For us, we need to start living the kind of moral life that Jesus wants for us. Now, we're not going to be able for time to dive into all of what that means, but it doesn't take long to read through things in Scripture where it starts to tell us these are things that God does not care for, these are things that God doesn't want, and these are the things that he does. And many of those, we as followers of Christ, we probably know what those are and where our struggles are. Well, maybe that's a step for you that you would say you need to take this morning, that adding to your faith, that next step is moral goodness. That's something that maybe you need to add in an area of your life where God wants you to grow. Maybe there's something you need to turn away from. So that's the first thing. Add to your faith moral goodness. The second thing he says is add to moral goodness knowledge. Knowledge is the second step. Now, this is not the same kind of knowledge necessarily as the other word we looked at. There's two different words here. Not that precise and complete understanding. That's the goal. But this kind of knowledge refers to an understanding of deeper spiritual things. Okay, it's like knowing God's word. It's knowing God's word. The Bible is God's word to us. It's how we know who he is and what he's done throughout history. It tells us what he wants from us, how we're supposed to live. Well, we need to be growing in our knowledge of him and in his word. So early on in our faith, when we first come to be a follower of Jesus, someone might ask us about that, and we might not have a lot of answers about the Bible or about who God is. And, you know, our answer might be something like, well, I don't know that much about the Bible, but I know that God really loves me and that Jesus died for me. And that's great. That's a good starting point. But if it's 20 years later, and we still don't know much more about the Bible than that, or about the deeper spiritual things, that's not good, Scripture says. We need to be growing in knowledge. Now, me personally, I love being able to dig into the Bible, into Scripture, discover deeper spiritual truths, pick things apart, and understand it on a deeper level. Some of you are maybe wired like me that way, and you love that. I know that not everyone is. But still, all of us are called to grow in this area of knowledge in our faith. In fact, Jesus calls us all to make disciples. We're called to make disciples of other people. In other words, not just learn and grow, but be able to teach others about who Jesus is. So we need to grow in knowledge for that to happen. Maybe that's an area for you this morning that you say, yeah, I'm all right in the moral goodness. I think I'm following God pretty well and trying to honor him in my life, but I need to grow in my knowledge of the deeper spiritual things. And maybe that's an area God wants to challenge you with this morning. Maybe the third area is an area for you. This one is self-control. self-control. Now, this one is always a challenge for me, honestly. I'm generally a pretty impulsive guy. And yet, self-control has to do with mastering our desires. Example, I see that chocolate cake. I want that chocolate cake. I desire that chocolate cake. But being able to say, I'm not going to eat that chocolate cake. Self-control, right? Self-control is, it's about mastering the senses, not being ruled by our own desires. Having the ability to set aside, more specifically, our own desires to choose God's ways instead. Why is self-control so important? Well, as we grow in our knowledge of Jesus, as we learn more about who God is and what he wants for us in his lives, we also will find that we desire some things that he doesn't want for us. There's always going to be a battle or a clash between our desires and God's desires. And self-control allows us to choose what God wants for us and set aside the things that we want. So maybe in your life, that's an area. And let me put the other knowledge up there. Self-control might be an area for you. Might be an area for you that God is challenging with this morning. The next thing he says is steadfastness, or in other words, patient endurance. Patient endurance. It's about perseverance. See, the longer you pursue God, the longer you're fighting the good fight of faith and struggling against sin, you know, really working on that self-control, the more tired you're going to get. The longer you follow Jesus, the more likely you are to encounter difficult trials in your life. And at times that can make it hard to want to stay in the game. Sometimes you feel like there's no way you can make it another day. Following, you know, I just can't go any further. You'll be tempted to quit, walk away, to quit fighting the good fight. In those times, we need steadfastness or patient endurance. God wants us to develop this unwavering trust in him regardless of the circumstances. Now, this might be an odd thing to say or maybe even a hard thing to hear, but the reality is if we're just okay with living a wishy-washy, mediocre Christian life, we don't need a whole lot of patient endurance. If we just fold whenever things get hard or ignore it when God asks us something that we don't want to do, what do we need to persevere in? But when we're really striving to live for Christ, to follow him, the trials are sure to come, and perseverance or patient endurance is going to be absolutely necessary. So maybe for you, patient endurance is a step that you need to take. You are trying hard, but you know what? You're tired right now. Or you found yourself becoming tired of fighting the good fight, of keeping the faith, of following Jesus with all of your heart. And he says, persevere, have patient endurance, be steadfast. Maybe that's a challenge for you this morning. The next area is godliness. He says to add to this godliness. Now, it's interesting that as you read this, he doesn't say just generally add all these things to your faith. There's a progression here. He says, to your faith, add moral goodness. To moral goodness, add knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. Self-control, patient endurance. And to patient endurance, add godliness. Godliness is an awesome reverence and a respect for God. It's a deep devotion to the Lord. Now, it might seem odd to you. The first time I read this passage, I thought, well, that's kind of weird. Godliness is right in the middle of the list, even towards the end. Shouldn't it be like the first thing? You know, you come to faith in Christ and you should be godly. But think about this for a minute. Again, there's a progression here. Could you really call someone godly who isn't morally good? No. Could you really call someone godly who really doesn't know much about God's word? No. Could you call someone godly who has no self-control in following any of the ways of God? No. Could you call someone godly who turns away from God when things get hard? Of course not. Maybe there's someone in your life that you get a picture of that you think, they're the most godly person that I know. They have this deep devotion to Jesus and this reverence and respect for God. Most likely, you also see all of these qualities in them. You see their moral goodness. You see their knowledge of the Scriptures. You see their ability to choose God's ways and self-control. And you see them being patiently enduring, that they've been in this for the long haul. The idea is this: godliness is something that becomes visible when these other things are in place. That's when godliness starts to be seen. Because then, when we've done these things, we next have this reverence, this awe for God. Now, it's possible that we're really striving in a lot of these areas, but somehow we've kind of lost that first love or that connection to the Lord, that awe and that reverence for Him. Maybe that's a step for you this morning, saying godliness is something God is challenging me with, having a deep respect and reverence and awe for who God is. The next thing on the list, he says, is add to that brotherly affection or brotherly kindness. Okay, brotherly kindness. Now the word here, as you might imagine, is actually the word Philadelphia. You've heard of the city called Philadelphia, most likely. Philadelphia is often called the city of what? Brotherly love, brotherly love. Anybody ever been to Philadelphia? Anyway, a couple of people? Now, I have not been to Philadelphia, but I've asked some people who have lived there over the course of their life. Maybe things have changed since then. But I asked them this. I said, you know, when you think about Philadelphia and the idea of the city of brotherly love, is it like that? See, already people shaking heads like, no. No, this is what I've been told, that it's a tough, hard, hostile city in many ways. It's really difficult. It's anything but brotherly love. So that's the city of Philadelphia. But the opposite of that, and what this biblical word is trying to get at, is that there's a love and a care and a concern and an affection for others who are believers like us. So Jesus said this: the world will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. Right? We have a good community here. I love our community of people. We have good people who care about each other. I would not say we're there yet. I would not say we've reached the perfection of biblical brotherly love. We're certainly not Philadelphia, the city. I hope you don't want, well, maybe some of the dirty sometimes. I'm not sure. But, you know, we love each other. We do care about each other. But I think at the same time, if there was a church, any church, who was expressing a brotherly affection, a brotherly love, this kind of love, in the way that God desires and hopes for us, that community would be blown away by the people there. People would be flocking to that church because they'd be like, I don't know what it is, but there's something amazing going on there. Again, I don't think we're there yet. And are we there individually? You know, do we have a deep love for other believers? And that's not just the people sitting in church by us. It's also for other people who are followers of Jesus, even if they're halfway around the world. Okay, so maybe we have we're doing okay in the godliness. We have this awe and reverence for God, but do we have a deep love for other believers, other followers of Jesus? And then the last one on the list is love. Is love. Now, you may know that there are different Greek words for different types of love. We have one word in English, but there are many. There are a number of them in Greek. So this particular Greek word that's used is agape love, the one we're probably most familiar with. Well, agape love is three things. It's selfless, it's sacrificial, and it's divine. I don't know if we have that up there or not. We don't, but we do have the blanks in your outline. It's selfless, it's sacrificial, and it's divine. And here's what we mean by that. Agape love is a selfless love in that it's the kind of love that puts other people first. Right? It's selfless in that way. It's a sacrificial love in that it's the kind of love that's willing to give until it hurts and then continues to give more. And it's a divine love. It's the kind of love that can only come through God. Agape love is the kind of love that Jesus demonstrated for us on the cross. And now he calls other people to love him in the same way. It's a love that's willing to lay everything down just to see other people come to know Jesus. And does so willingly and joyfully. You know, maybe that's a next step for you today. That it's a love, a sacrificial, selfless, divine love that we need to be sharing with other people. So this morning, these are the steps. These are the different qualities that Peter says we need to add or furnish our faith with. So it's not empty, so it's not bare, so we're effective, so we're fruitful, and so that we grow into this complete and precise knowledge of Jesus. Now, I can't obviously tell where each one of you are at, but I want to give us just a moment as we close here, just about a minute, to consider, is there one of these this morning that God has maybe tugged on your heart about? Maybe as we talked about it, he stirred something in you, in your spirit. Or maybe there's just a word that is popping out to you that you would say, you know what, I think that's a next step for me. I'm going to give us a moment, and on the flap inside your bulletins that you got this morning, there's a chance just to answer that first question. Is there, which of these areas is God speaking to you about this morning? Is there one? You don't have to answer the other questions that are there. Those are for your own personal use as you go throughout the week, to give it some more thought, to give it some more prayer. But we're just going to take a moment of silence here, and I'm going to give you a chance to consider what is that area, and then I'm going to close our time in prayer. As you're writing down that area of your life that maybe God is speaking to you about this morning, we want to pray for that. I do encourage you, because everyone's at a different place. If you're considering that this week or this morning, and you're saying, yeah, I this is an area that I'd really like to grow in, that I really feel like God is calling me to something too, but I'm not sure what my next steps are, I would encourage you, would you maybe talk to me about it? Would you contact us through, our website, the porticocommunity.com website? Send an email. If you have my number, call me. I would love to talk further with you and maybe help us discover what some next steps are in areas of growth in our life. Because obviously with so many people in different places, we can't address them all directly this morning. But we'd love to help. So if that's you this morning, or you could even jot a note and leave it in the basket at the back and be glad to get in touch with you. But for this morning, I do want to pray for each one of us. So if we would stand together as we close this morning, and we'll close in prayer. Lord God, I recognize this morning that there are some that may be here that thinking about these qualities in our life is almost secondary, but that first step, putting our faith and trust in you, that is the first thing that you're calling us to, that we've never taken a step of faith and kind of gotten on the ladder. Lord, this morning, if that's where we're at, if that's where someone is at, Lord, I pray that you would hear their heart's cry, that in the quietness of their heart, they can simply pray, Lord, I want to start on this journey with you, knowing that you long for that from us. I take that first step and put my faith and trust in you this morning. For those who have taken that step of faith at some point in their life, whether it be recently or many, many years ago, Lord, we commit this particular area, the things that you've placed on our heart this morning. These are things you desire from us. You put them in your word because you long for them to become a reality in our life. You long for greater things in our life. than what we're experiencing in regards to our faith in you and our knowledge, our understanding of you. So Lord, help us to grow, whether it be the areas of moral goodness where we need to make some change. Lord, whether it's the area of knowledge and understanding more of who you are, the area of self-control and mastering our desires and choosing to follow you instead of our own whims, the area of patient endurance, because right now life is hard. It's hard to follow you. It's hard to stay faithful. Maybe the area of godliness, that we're trying hard, we're striving, but you know we long for just a deeper connection to you and an awe and a reverence that comes and kind of oozes out of our life to those around us. God, help us to grow if the area is brotherly kindness, that we would have a deep concern for other people who are trying to follow Jesus just like we are and for where they're at. And Lord, also for love, that we would be loving people in a way that is selfless and sacrificial and divine, like you loved us when you gave your life on the cross. Lord, whatever the areas are this morning that you've placed on our hearts, we pray that they would not just be a casual thought, but that you would stir up within us the desire to grow in this way, whatever it is, over the next week and the next months. We pray that we'd be able to take some next steps in seeing these areas develop in our life because we've trusted them to you. So go with us, we pray this morning. Be with us as we go and continue to spur us on to deeper and greater things in our faith and in our journey with you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.